The Pacific Islands, so Polynesia and Micronesia, actually have the world's highest rate of diabetes prevalence of nearly a quarter. So nearly a quarter of adults in the Pacific Islands have diabetes. And there's been an estimate that 17% of those people with diabetes will end up with an amputation at some point in their life. So we're talking about, you know, hundreds, thousands of people in the Pacific that are losing their limbs due to diabetes. And often it's not just one leg, often it's two legs, or often it's multiple amputations as they go higher and higher as the disease progresses, or because enough wasn't taken initially. So it's a really big problem. One research has shown that in Fiji, somebody loses a leg due to diabetes every 12 hours. So it's a huge, huge problem, and it's only growing as diabetes rates grow as well.
So what can be done for these people once they lose their limbs, usually legs? Your organisation, Motivation Australia, works with a lot of Pacific Island health systems and tries to provide, artificial limbs, wheelchairs, crutches, that kind of thing?
Yeah, so without a mobility device, the people are often stuck at home, not being able to keep working or support their families. A lot of countries might have access to basic crutches or wheelchairs, which can help people mobilise, but still don't give them a level of independence that they need. It's really for most amputees, the provision of a prosthesis pretty much reduces their disability. So it gives them a similar level of functionality as they had before. I mean, it's never going to be the same, but it gives them a lot more independence to be able to do their work and to do what they need to around their homes and in the communities.
What kind of people need these prosthetics? I mean, in Australia, it's mainly people over 65 that tend to have diabetes-related amputations. Is it the same in the Pacific?
No, so in the Pacific, it's affecting people of a much younger age. So would probably be, it can affect people down in their 30s or 40s, but probably the majority of people would be maybe in their early to mid-50s would be a common age to see the amputations. And these are people that usually still have families they need to support. You know, they're still working age, they still want to be out there and providing for their families. So it's of a much greater impact, particularly, you know, if we're also looking at people, you know, in their late 30s or 40s, that's people with young children or, with work that's often a lot more physically demanding. So it's really greatly affecting not only from the health side of things, but it's becoming a real economic burden.
Well, it is an economic burden, obviously, on the health systems of Pacific Island countries. Often they don't have much in the way of resources for this kind of thing. Does the work that your organisation, Motivation Australia, and other Australian organisations, and from New Zealand as well, are they able to pick up the slack? Are people in the Pacific able to get the prostheses that they actually need?
Yeah, so a lot of our work is funded through Australian government funding, so setting up local services within the Pacific, so prosthetics and orthotic services within the Pacific, and also able to send students from the Pacific Islands to study prosthetics and orthotics internationally. So often it'll be somewhere like Cambodia or maybe a little India. So we have government funding that's helping with those students, but we're also having some private donors that are sponsoring students to study as well.
Is it enough though?
It's not enough. Basically, you know, we're trying to build the human resource element of it, but it's still not even close to being enough. But also, we can train more people, but if they don't have the services to come back to provide the service, so having the workshops that they need, having the clinical facilities they need, having the money to buy the products to fit to the amputees, it's an ongoing struggle to get the funding to provide those services and to be sustainable, because we can only usually get funding for short periods of time. It often needs to be the governments of the countries that take a bit of responsibility to procure the products in the long term. And often, like you said, they just don't have the budget for that. They've got so many competing health issues and funding issues that getting that funding and that money to provide these services is definitely a challenge.